During the month of September, as we prepare for the next phase of this transition time for the arrival of our interim co-pastor, Reverend Glenn Ramsey from our congregation and I will be preaching from the lectionary passages of James to claim the challenges that James posed to the early church to be grounded in the core values and practices of the Christian life. Luther called James the straw epistle, particularly when he compared it to Paul's letters, which point to God's grace and not just how we respond. But Calvin said of James, faith alone saves. It is true, faith alone saves. But the faith that saves is not alone. We know that in this time of transition and uncertainty that you may have questions about this Presbyterian way of finding new pastors. And we invite you to take time to ask those questions, to share in writing and put it into the offering plate your questions and concerns about this interim time as we prayerfully discern where God is leading us next and as we continue to build on the grace of God's Spirit in working together for the kingdom here and beyond these walls. As we prepare to hear what God has to say to us in this text today, let us pray. God, grant us your grace, for it is by your grace alone that we live. Remind us, O God, that your word is what strengthens and binds us together and sends us forth to be your witnesses to the ends of the earth. Open our hearts that we might hear your word this day and that we might go forth to live it in all our lives. In Christ we pray. Amen. The lectionary psalm that we read this morning accompanies this passage of James, and it's a reminder to us of where we put our faith and trust. It reminds us in pointing to the certainty of God's promise and purpose and presence in the people's lives in the Old Testament that our faith and our trust, our promise and our hope lies in Jesus Christ. It's a reminder to us that the God of the Hebrew people is the same God of all who surrounds the people, even in the midst of tumult and uncertainties that are inevitable with life itself. But it is not just a reminder of that faith. It is also a prayer to God to hear the prayers of those people and to warn against those who would turn aside and away from God's presence in their lives. It is indeed an interesting pairing with this passage in James on the gift and call to radical hospitality. One commentator has called James the Proverbs and Amos of the New Testament because of its to-the-point practical and pointed advice on how to walk the talk and its in-your-face rebuke of sin and hypocrisy. James, as you may have heard in this text, has no time for that. James has a way of getting directly to the point. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? It is so much easier and so much more comfortable for us to associate with those who are just like us, who look like us, who dress like us, who have had the same kind of educational opportunities as us, who are in the same social strata as us. But this isn't what James is talking about. James is often accused of making little mention of Christ, but here he links faith directly to how we live our lives and how we treat those who are different than we are. Indeed, he tells us to welcome them to our community. James says, do our acts of favoritism with whom we associate or not really reflect the faith that we have in Jesus Christ? Yesterday at our Presbytery meeting, the gathering of churches in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and parts of Massachusetts, our morning focus was devoted to thinking about the ways in which we are missional, seeking to live Christ's love out into the world. For the movement of God's love is ever outward, but it takes root and takes its power from the communities and the wrestlings that we experience in community together. As we challenge and intentionally put ourselves with one another in community to learn about the other, to learn about ourselves as we encounter people different from ourselves, it is indeed a most fitting text to put at the start of this church school season, to welcome and to grow together in Christ. Pay attention. Both the Psalm and James tells us, stay rooted in God. Remember that we are grounded in God. What can we learn then when we seek the Christ in the other, to seek and see what God sees in this one who seemingly has less, the poor in our eyes? James asks, has not God chosen the poor to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? In the ways God promises God's people, we too are to welcome the stranger and to show no partiality. This is, my friends, the gift of radical hospitality. It's a gift to us, and we are blessed when we experience it and when we live it. It's an opportunity that we have as an urban church in a church that continually brings new people into our doors to seek and to know them as each one of us are here as children of God seeking to grow together in Christ. Jesus talks a lot about this as he goes to the edges of the society, as he interacts with a variety of people that were not part of the religious establishment. Peter is challenged in Acts to look beyond his comfort zone in dreams and visions that transformed his witness and his work. The parable of the prodigal son reminds us that God is ever seeking to call us and all God's people back to a place of welcome, to remember, to have hope, to experience that promise, and to go forth to share it. In our playgroup study this year on the Beatitudes earlier in the year, we learned that the blesseds of the Beatitudes would be better translated most to be honored. And this is exactly what James is talking about here. Most to be honored by us and honored by God. As we look around to the person around us that is new, that might be different, that might open to us new ways of understanding God's grace and God's love. My friends, this isn't about being nice and polite to one another in church. James is very strong about that. He says that we dishonor the poor by treating them differently, by playing favorites, he says in verse 6. So I challenge you, like I challenge the children in the message this morning, to say hello to someone you don't know this morning, to maybe not go to your own corner in the coffee hour. You guys are pretty good at that, about not going to your own corner, I mean. I see it every week in this place, and that's why we see what we see in this place. James says, it's not about a lack of money or fine clothes, but it can also, but the poor can be rich in faith. The poor can be anyone who knows that they need God in their life. Matthew translates that beatitude as the poor in spirit, but Luke translates it as just the poor, and to them shall be the kingdom of God. We can too easily miss what we can be taught about how one depends upon God for everything in life when all else is stripped away, unless we're willing to learn from those who have less. less health, less security, less money, less faith, differences from us. In his commentary on this passage, John Calvin writes, Although God pours forth his grace on the rich in common with the poor, yet his will is to prefer these to those, that the mighty might learn not to flatter themselves, and that the ignoble and obscure might ascribe in what they are to the mercy of God, and that both might be trained up to meekness and humility. We are the ones who lose when we spend our time only with those who look just like us. We risk learning the things, the ways in which God shows forth favor and blessing in ways that we can scarcely imagine. Let us dare to live into a place of radical hospitality, to step out in faith in new ways in this fall season, and to receive the gift and blessing that expands our vision and teaches us the depth of the way in which God loves all God's people, and into a vision which teaches us to live and to love truly as Jesus loved, to follow that greatest of commandments, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.